Morning Edition on WVIK is supported by Mercy One Genesis.
You're listening to A Real Piece of Work. I probably shouldn't say it that way. You're listening to A Real Piece of Work, a jobs podcast for aspiring professionals, brought to you by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR, and Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Now here's your hosts, Matt and Joy.
Joy, how are you doing today?
Matt, I couldn't be better. It's a Wednesday. The sun is shining. Springtime is among us. That's always a good feeling. And how about yourself?
I'm excited as well. It's funny how worlds collide and the why of this podcast in many ways. Junior Achievement is all about entrepreneurship. And I think this person is the epitome of that in many ways, having maybe spun off from a long, successful career in the corporate world. And putting a shingle out there. I admire people that do what this guest has done. And so I'm excited to hear his story and path. But anything jumping out for you, Joy, that you want to get into before we welcome our guest?
I always enjoy reading the bios. You know, I always read them when we schedule them. And then right before the interview, do another kind of browse through. And so as I did that this morning, I think what really stuck out to me, what I'm excited to hear about too, being in the HR realm and working for a company and corporation, a lot of times we kind of lose sight of the importance of community involvement and the importance of that when it comes to marketing and branding ourselves too, and not just to check a box, but because we truly care about those organizations that we choose to partner with. And I know a lot of, or from what I read with this person's bio, it seems like a lot of that comes into play. So I'm excited to hear about that and hear about their journey. I always love golf. It sounds like there's a little bit of golf that's involved. Anytime a golf course is in my rear view mirror or my windshield, I'm pretty excited about it. So I guess without further ado, Matt Blaylock, the founder and CEO of Cold Penny Marketing.
Awesome.
Thanks for joining us today, Matt.
Yeah, Matt, Joy, thanks for having me. Looking forward to talking today.
Matt, if you would humor us, please. And I know founder, CEO is, I guess, the background title, but I'm seeing something here that said head of change as a job title. And then the company is called Cold Penny Marketing. Can you just tell our listeners about both of those titles and company name?
I'd be happy to. I think what's great is when you're an entrepreneur, you can call yourself whatever you want to. So one of the things I really like to do is to help create change for good. So there it is, head of change. I take the garbage out. I do it all, but overall, I really like change. And as I've gone into this entrepreneurial adventure, it's been a big change. And the name Cold Penny Marketing really came to me because sometimes in life, you've got to take what you're given. Maybe it's pennies and you got to turn it into dollars. Mm-hmm. I really, really love and have enjoyed working from kind of the bottom up. So Cold Penny means a lot to me from a naming perspective and just my approach.
Love it. But you say entrepreneur and maybe putting your shingle out there and taking a risk. What were you doing prior that allows you to do what you're doing today?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I spent 20 plus years in the corporate world. In an amazing company, in many amazing roles. So I've had the opportunity to do business on six different continents. I've visited five, and a pretty popular employer in the Quad Cities, John Deere. So I've lived in different places in the country. And when I made the decision to leave about a year ago and start Cold Penny Marketing, I was managing all of the sponsorships, brand activations, and events for Deere. So just an awesome, awesome position that allowed me to work across golf, which I'm passionate about, as most that know me, in farming, and just be able to work with farmers and customers all over the world.
Is that something specifically from an education perspective? Had you gone down that path to get you ready for that world?
Yeah, Matt. So the sports world specifically, I got involved at a very early age, about 13 years old, when I showed up as a caddy. And so I did that. I learned a ton of life lessons from that. And kind of the pinnacle of that was earning a full scholarship to Indiana University, an Evans scholarship, which is pretty well known in the Chicago area, but in Iowa and the Quad Cities, maybe not. But it's a scholarship for caddies to get a full ride to go to school. And so that's really where my education started. And I went to Indiana. And I got a degree in kinesiology, sports marketing. So really started my career out in sports with the American Junior Golf Association, a premier kind of junior tour out there running events. I did an internship at the Indiana Pacers in basketball. That's the closest I ever got to playing basketball. A little bit vertically challenged here. But so I really started out in sports, and then I left it. I left it when I started at Deere around 2003, and then it came back to me. It came back to me when I began managing the title sponsorship for Deere at the John Deere Classic, working with golf ambassadors, working with the PGA Tour and beyond. So pretty awesome to see that come full circle, having started out as a young teenager in it. And then it coming back to me after being away from it for 10 or 15 years.
Awesome.
Matt, I actually love that, talking about still being able to be involved in something that you're passionate about within your career. You know, to be able to check that box and to be able to do those things is pretty cool to me. So thanks for sharing that. I am curious. So, you know, you said you're with the company, you know, John Deere for 20 years, and then you decide to kind of venture out. What sparked that decision, or what was the driving force behind that? And if, you know, because I think a lot of times, right, our kids think they choose a path and that's where they have to stay. I mean, that's a big risk to be with a company and have the benefits and all the things that are encompassed when you were part of a company to say, I'm going to go out and start something new. What did that look like? What were the emotions tied, you know?
The emotions are everything under the sun. You know, you can get very comfortable, right? And to your point, Joy, very, very, very predictable, right? You have a lot of those foundational things that the world defines as successful. Within a large, great company like that, my decision process was around probably a question that I asked myself, and maybe others could incorporate into their decision-making process, is, would I regret it if I didn't do it? And so I got to a stage in my life where I said, will I regret not taking a chance, going out on my own and doing something new? And so as I talked about Cold Penny being, you know, starting from pennies and making it into dollars is kind of an example, I just decided after my corporate career, I want to try it again. I want to try to build something else. I want to build it from the first penny up and be an entrepreneur and see where it takes me.
Wow. I love that answer, Matt. And Joy, as a plug, I might suggest that the name of this episode is, would I regret it if I didn't do it?
We just had that conversation this morning, did we not? I mean, yeah. We were talking about this specifically at our meeting this morning. Yes.
Yeah, so that's awesome. But Matt, circling back a little bit, as you know, the target audience is our high school students and sometimes junior high. We always want to make sure that a student is actually a part of our podcast here. We got an individual named Zoe Perez, who's a junior achievement student, who's a freshman at Moline High School, that's got a question for you. I'm hoping you can give her an answer to.
Hi, Matt. My name is Zoe Perez. I am a freshman at Moline High School. You have had a very successful career. But looking back, is there anything you would have done differently?
Great. Yeah, thanks, Zoe. Appreciate that question. And thanks for being part of the podcast. You know, what I would do differently, looking back at what some say is a successful career, what I would do differently is I would enjoy the ride more. You know, I would smell the roses more. I would take that little extra time while in Germany or Italy or Singapore. That's a great place, by the way. I would take a little extra time to enjoy and take in those travels and those experiences outside of just the business that needed to be done.
I like that answer a lot. It's very easy to get caught up in the moment and quote unquote be focused on the task at hand, which is work, but world's a big place and we can learn a lot just by looking around, like you said. So that's awesome. Matt, gonna put you on the spot a little bit. So you've transitioned to be an entrepreneur. You've hung your shingle out there. Can you make a buck doing what you're doing, man? Can I put food on the table, you know, support the family, have a little fun?
Yeah. You can definitely make a living as an entrepreneur. But it is every single day. You've got to work for it, right? At the end of the week or every 2 weeks, a paycheck doesn't magically show up. So you've got to really get out there and network and really get crisp on what it is that you're selling or you're doing. So I got some good advice from one of the members in the community who's pretty involved with JA as well, and he told me that the riches are in the niches. So I don't say that because my plan is to make millions and millions of dollars doing this. I think your identity and you're defined by more than just your job title or the company that you work for. But I say that because I think as a young person in high school or getting ready to go to college, or getting ready to go to high school, I think focusing in on an area is a good idea. Learn something specific. Instead of just being a generalist. And I'd also say that in my career, it was great to have a large, well-established company to be able to learn, be educated, make some mistakes, and figure that out before going out on my own. So I would encourage folks to get that education at larger established businesses. Then ask yourself the question, would I regret it? If I didn't, and maybe try to go out on your own and see what you can come up with.
So Matt, you mentioned networking and the importance of networking, and especially when you're thinking about going out on your own. Do you have any specific mentors? I always like to hear the stories about the one or two people that really encouraged you or the people that made that impactful difference in you saying, yes, I can do this. And you had a space where you had people that you trusted with that information. And how do you find those people?
Yeah. So mentoring, I think a lot of people think of mentoring as, hey, I've got to pick this person who is VP, president, CEO. Like I've got to pick that person. That's my mentor. Mentoring comes in a number of different forms. So I take mentoring or I take advice from everyone. There's great perspectives of the listeners here in high school, in college. So I think there's a lot of different places that you can get mentoring. So yes, you can have that aspirational role or person that has maybe been in the business for 20 or 30 years and you can learn something. I think one of the more important places is to have peer mentors. Find those people around you that are positive people and are going to make a positive impact on you, that are aspirational and want to do good things. And get a peer mentor too. Find folks that are in similar situations that can relate to what you're doing, the time frame in which you're living, and the technology and access to things that you have, and find that friend or mentor as well. And then also for those of us that are more senior in our careers, is don't forget that you can learn from the younger generation as well. And so in that, I guess what I'm telling you is there's at least three different categories of mentors that I would be looking to have as I begin a career or try to continue to build a new career.
So the networking aspect and the mentoring aspect in terms of just getting some guidance, phenomenal. But you're trying to grow a business. Who's your target audience, Matt? And then what's outside of the networking and trying to get your brand out there? What's a day in life look like right now?
Well, my target audience, it's great. A little bit of marketing, Mr. Rebro. It is getting really tight on your messaging. So my target audience is around brands involved in sports or cause marketing. So cause marketing is taking brands and causes and putting them together for the good of the cause as well as the brand. So a lot of people see that in sponsorships. It's also around agriculture, construction, and brands in rural America. In marketing, we want to break through the clutter, right? So that's one of the pieces of that. And then also, my target market is really kind of large brands that are looking to do some authentic, great work in their communities and also with their products.
Matt, I want you to brag for a moment, please, just because I know a little.
Well, that's hard. That's hard.
Speak to one of those mergings of brands, bringing them together that our audience might be familiar with. Maybe not.
Yeah. Maybe the 21 and older audience.
There we go.
Yeah. So, yeah, I did a partnership with two Fortune 100 companies with Deere and Anheuser-Busch. And getting two Fortune 100 companies together is not easy. It's difficult on many different levels, just because of size, complexity, as well as of goals. So I brought the two companies together to benefit farm families in crisis for an organization called Farm Rescue. And some of the most rewarding work I've done, because we were able to raise over $300,000 for farm families in need. Farm Rescue is a great organization that it doesn't cut checks. It goes out and it does the work when, say, somebody's been sick and they can't plant, or there's unfortunately been a death in the family and they can't harvest. So bringing those two iconic American brands together was special. And to benefit a group of people like our farming communities was just unbelievable. So I think that's the one you wanted to talk about.
It absolutely is.
Talk about Field of Dreams or something else.
I know you've done a lot of good stuff, but that's definitely the most iconic one that jumped out for me. So appreciate you sharing a little bit about that. So yeah. Joey, anything else jumping out for you today that you want to get out there with Matt?
I think the only question that I have remaining right now as we're talking is your biggest challenge. You don't have to necessarily say what that challenge was, but our audience, I think a lot of times we talk a lot about all the good things and what's going on and how we got there. But a lot of times, they want to know, how do you overcome challenges? Because, they get stuck in these places, perhaps. How do you stay motivated, or how do you get through challenges? What's your kind of, do you have a process that you... Or a person that you follow, or someone that helps you through those times?
To overcome challenges? Yeah, I would say probably in my transition, the biggest challenge to overcome would be identity, right? So a lot of us identify who we are based on how we earn a paycheck, right? And so the advice I would give is that your identity extends well beyond what you do to make a living, whether that be in your community, whether that be how you interact with your family, whether that be how you treat other people. So I think that was one of the things that was difficult for me, because it was really easy to explain what I did before, right? And easily identifiable. Trust me, you do not want to wear a John Deere shirt on an airplane if you don't want to talk about John Deere, because you will run into somebody who wants to talk about it. So I think that's one of it. How do I overcome challenges? I think number one in building this business is you've got to give to receive, right? So that's first and foremost, and it will come back to you. So I do pro bono work. I work with other entrepreneurs in supply chain management and other places that don't have the marketing skills that I do. So I give to receive. And so I think that's one of the ways that I work through challenges. The other piece of that is always ask, how can I help? So how can I help as you have conversations with people and stay in that spirit of giving and the financial return and the business returns will come. Need to have some patience. I don't have a lot of it. So do as I say, not as I do, but have some patience as well.
I think that's all I had, Matt. I mean, you know me, I could probably ask 20 more questions, but in light of time today, I think those were
good ones. Yeah, I get it. So
episode two?
Yeah, we've not done a follow-up with the guest before. Maybe that's in the future, Matt, to say, hey, how have things progressed? But before we wrap up today, most importantly, though, we always like to ask our guests, you know, just how to wrap things up. If you could look at a 16-year-old Matt, you know, what would you tell Matt to keep doing, stop doing, and start doing to increase chances of post-high school success and happiness?
Oh, wow. Well, 16-year-old Matt doesn't exist. And he came from a world that doesn't exist either. So if I could take a little liberty, maybe I'll just toss out a few things that I think would be helpful for today's audience. Would I regret it if I didn't do it? Ask that question to yourself. Mm-hmm. Number two, your 2 cents matters. Okay. Your opinion matters and you matter. So always remember that. Ask people, how can I help? Give first and good things will come. Do the preparation off stage so that you're ready when you're on stage. And then the last piece of this is actionable, right? Find people in your community, in your network, who your parents know, who you sort of know, and ask them for some time. They will, and ask them what they do. I guarantee you they will do it. Yeah. People who get invited to talk about themselves will do it.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm on this podcast, right?
Yeah, it is.
So reach out. People will give you their time and they will help you.
Well, Matt, as always, you've been a real piece of work. We really appreciate you sharing your background with our junior achievement students and beyond. And I can't thank you enough for your time, sir.
You too, sir. You are a real piece of work.
Well, once again, Joy, just another great, great guest that we had here today. And again, weaving in entrepreneurs into a real piece of work, I think is important because it's really kind of a summit of the grassroots of who Junior Achievement is. And, you know, I said it during the interview and I'll say it again. The biggest takeaway that I'm going to just put out there is the statement of would I regret it if I didn't do it. And I don't think we need to really go much further for me personally. Matt had a lot of great stuff that he shared. But I think everybody that's thinking about post-high school, keep that in the back of your mind. It's really wise advice that I would share with some students. So anything jump out for you? There's always a bunch. I know it.
There actually is. And ironically today, I think this might be a first. So let's mark the calendar. What I have highlighted in my notes is what I regret if I didn't do it, along with enjoying the ride and the journey more, just to be present and to take in the experiences outside of business. You know, Matt and I, you and I this morning at our wrap-up meeting, we're even talking about our children right now. You know, I have a kiddo who's 14 getting ready to try out for a baseball team. And we're talking about all the prep work ahead of time. And it's, you know, what's most important when it comes down to it, not with just sports or with jobs or anything, is, you know, if you keep asking yourself that question, would I regret it if I didn't do it? And there's something that keeps popping up, then you need to go do it. But if you're not asking yourself the question, you can't start making those things happen. And so for me, that's the same thing that jumped off the page to me. I think it's great advice. And I hope it's reaching a lot of students out there. And I know that it's, you know, it's impacted me. I think I'll start asking myself that question a little more often as well.
Well, Joy, as always, it's been a pleasure. Looking forward to the next one.
Thanks, Matt.
Thank you.